They have a look over there.
Hey, Bob.
I'm mute.
Are you mute?
Oh, I'm mute again.
There we go. Sorry about that. Welcome to all from Shelby, North Carolina, at Compass Aviation headquarters, and just been a great privilege to be here with Glenda for the last few days, and wanted to introduce you to my son, John, our oldest son, and he's been here doing this kind of work to serve the Lord for a long time, but I'm going to let him give you all the details. It's an exciting ministry that he's involved with, so without further ado, here's John Watt.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share from, well, as Dad said, live on location from Shelby, North Carolina at the Shelby Airport, home of Compass Aviation. A lot happens here. I'm grateful that I'm not going to be sharing all the details, or you guys would never go home, or else you just choose to leave. So there's a lot to say. We'll do my best to keep this short. I tend to wander off in different rabbit trails, so I'm not a public speaker. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here. Different places than there at Malvern, but here we are gathered together in your name, and we're grateful that you are not bound by time or distance or location. We can do so together as a group of believers like this, and we are grateful for technology that allows that. I pray that you would guide me in the thoughts that I'm sharing and what I update on, that words of that are mine would be quickly forgotten, words of you would sink in. And we thank you for what you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name, amen. So, in the background, it's a definitely unique background probably for most churches, is that here I am in a part of our shop. We have a larger area. This is our small part that we do our work on. I'll be switching to a different device and walking around a little bit very soon. Lately, I've been pondering light. Part of that's because I still think of myself as an African, and I do not like the winter. I tolerate it as best I can. I try not to complain. We're not supposed to complain, and everything give thanks, including the cold. So, and that's coming from me here in North Carolina, not where you guys are. But it has been a mild winter, and I'm thankful for that. Where we work, the majority of where we work is cinder block walls, tin roof, no heat, no air. So it's I love the heat part, but I don't like the winter part. It's kind of chilly in there. As a mechanic, and so since I'm not a public speaker, and nor am I a scientist, and I'm pondering light of all things, that puts me in dangerous territory. But I do have some thoughts that I think are interesting, and hopefully will be useful and encouraging as I try to connect them to relevant things with here at Compass. As a mechanic, probably the most important tool I use, my eyes are is a large tool, but using all of our senses. But in addition to that, would be a flashlight. I can't see things without a flashlight. And the older I get, the more flashlight I need. However, the only way to sometimes find cracks or corrosion, things like that, are using a flashlight. That's what reveals it, bringing that light in. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, but I'm going to attempt to switch to a different screen here. Raj, if you're able to do that, Saj, I have a friend named Raj.
Unmute. I'm on video, and here we go. So this ought to be fun. Are you seeing what I'm seeing right now?
Yes.
All right, good. So right behind me where I was sitting is this, you may need to turn the volume down, Dad, on that. Where I'm sitting right now, standing, is this is an airplane we're working on. It's one of our training aircraft. We did some inspecting, and my son was so kind to say, hey, dad. And whenever my son, who's also a licensed mechanic, says, hey, dad, you might ought to look at this, it usually means he's found something significant. And in this case, we have a wing. You can see it's mostly covered up. We're getting ready to do some painting next week on it now that we're finished with repairs. It went on this airplane, clearly missing a wing and an engine, a lot of other things. But this wing was a major issue. We had just acquired the airplane to use for our training. We're doing an inspection. And we noticed something significant. This is a piece of metal that doesn't look like much, but it goes from one end of the wing to the other. It's a spar cap. It's pretty strong. It's a part of what holds the wing on, so kind of important, right? And with the flashlight, a little area looked unusual, and a little bit more looking was done, a little more investigating, and we came up and found this. I don't know if you can see that or not, but that is not what metal is supposed to do. It went from the inside out. This is a 50-year-old airplane, and the rest of it is completely fine. It's solid extruded aluminum. It's called intergranular corrosion. It starts at the inside and works its way out. I won't go into the scientific what makes it do what it does, but it does. And like cancer, it just builds and expands, and it was due to improper heat treatment is what caused it. That flashlight exposed it, and we were able to then disassemble the wing, remove all the bad pieces, do all the repairs that need to be done, including replacing that piece, which is getting ready to go back in next week, Lord willing. And that is how we fix those things. I'm going to switch back to the other computer now.
I'm assuming I'm back. Am I here?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Saj. So, just like sin, corrosion is insidious. It just shows up and just spreads. Unchecked, it just spreads. It looked great on the outside. That airplane looked beautiful. It was flying. Flew thousands of hours before that was found. It was going to fail, though. It was going to break. And people in it would be affected. Everyone connected to that would be affected in some way. That is exactly what sin does. And so the only way to deal with that is to bring it into the light. And as we all know, that is exactly what we do when we confess our sin. When the Lord meets us at that place of vulnerability where we are acknowledging our sin before him, when we are given the opportunity to allow him to wash us clean, it's pretty cool. Continuing the thought of light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is from John 1:1-5. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is an end to how far it can go. And once the light is brought in, it stops. Now, there is an ongoing washing of our feet and the sanctification, and we're not going to go really deep into all of that, but I love how every day when we work here, there's so many illustrations in our world around us, whatever field we're in, it's there. When we talked about that other part of light and just remembering what it came from, that this is from another, also from John, but from 1 John 1:5-10, so 1 John 1. Andy, our director of training here, is from England. So whenever he talks about 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, he always says 1 John or 1 Peter or 2 Peter. So in 1 John 5:1-10, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The word of God, oh my goodness, it has to be in there. And then along those light, more random thoughts, but I'm not aware of how it works, and I can't explain it, but you guys that are smarter than me understand this. Light is made up of basically three different things, and without any of them, it's not light. I do think it's very interesting that the Lord says that, you know, he says, I am light, and in the beginning was the word. You've got the waves, right? There are experiments you can do to prove light is a wave. And somebody else comes along and they do experiments to prove that light is a particle. It's both a light and a particle. So the answer is yes. And then there's this third, which I can't explain without some serious help and some even more serious, crazy math that my son could help me with, but I can't, the math genius in my family, those three things together are intrinsically and they're all unique identities that are interwoven, and the three of them together are light. Without any one of them, it isn't light anymore. I do think that's really cool with just God is everywhere, and how he expresses himself with in terms of the Trinity and other aspects of what he does. I think it's phenomenal. I indicated this earlier when I said this, I mentioned it earlier, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. It's just an ongoing process of got to be in the word. I want to try to narrow this down to two thoughts. Two thoughts are easier. They're not overwhelming. It's easier not to go too deep into things, but two thoughts, it can still be hard. Diet and exercise, that's real simple, right? Just two things. Or read your Bible and pray, that's just two things. But I think those two things that I mentioned on both of those probably cover every part of our lives. I wanted to mention with the word, God's word, your light unto our path, showing us the path. Dr. Paul Hanschel, he and I started Compass in 2004. Hard to believe that it has been, we're in our 19th year. It is not, the gray hair tells me it's been a while and there's been a lot of stress. But there is a lot of amazing things that God has done. But I remember way back at the beginning when we first started this in 2004, Paul and I both had a whole bunch of dreams. I haven't shared all of them with people, but it's been really interesting to watch how God has used those to help encourage my faith and to show that when we were getting ready to start this, we had no idea how long it would last. Would we make it through the year? What impact would we have? Would we be able to connect with people? Would people even leave after training with us and be serving, in overseas missions as we had hoped? And now we can look back at some of those things and see people in 15 different countries that are working with different organizations that we got to be part of investing in their lives to help them to go. I'll go into a little bit more of that in a minute. One of the things the two dreams that Paul shared that I want to mention right now, they're real short, they're both easy, but one of them was he woke up in an from a dead sleep. What he thought he didn't wake, he doesn't remember this, but his wife Joni told me he sat up in the bed just gasping, and she's thinking, oh no, he's having a heart attack or something's happening, and he's just sitting there, eyes wide open, just looking all around. And she's like, what is it, Paul? What is it, Paul? All he could say is the flags. Look at all the flags. And this was when we first started, before we started, actually. And I thought that was really neat to see. And we just, we're like, well, that's our goal, is to try to be part of bringing God's word to the uttermost parts of the earth, whatever that looks like. And then the other one was God's word. And you'll see those flags in just a minute. You're only seeing a part of them in your screen now. But the other one is with God's word. He had a dream that he's flying along in an airplane. He could not see anything. So anybody that does much flying realizes that's called instrument flight rules. So you're flying under IFR. You don't see the ground. You're using your instruments, navigational instruments, things like that. And you're flying along. There was nothing on the panel. There were no instruments even. Nothing at all. But he was totally calm. And he just sat there just going along with no instrumentation. The only instrument he had in the whole airplane, there was a Bible on the panel. It was nothing else in the airplane but a Bible. And it was just, that was it. That was the only guidance he needed. That was the guidance that was needed. And he woke up going, okay, so we're okay, aviation, follow God's word. I mean, those are obvious thoughts, but it was just an encouraging way of God reinforcing to him and me how and why we're doing what we're doing. It's because of him. So I'm going to take a couple of minutes to try to review a little bit of what Compass is and what we do. For some of you, you're quite familiar with what we do, and that's great. For some, you may need a brushing up, and for some, you may not even know at all what we do. We're just, here we are, there's airplanes around us. So here we go. I kind of need to hear it again, too, because even after all these years, it's really important to remember the why and what it's about. So our thumbnail version, if that's possible for me to do, is that we are, our mission is to prepare people and airplanes for mission, overseas mission aviation service. Not always overseas, but for missionary aviation service. The primary focus of what we do is the technical application, the technical preparation. It is a very, very technically demanding field, being a mechanic, being a pilot. However, and you have to be very proficient at both of those to operate safely in really challenging environments. So that's what we attempt to do. There is no one size that fits all. The folks that come here come from all over the place. They may have a pilot's license from somewhere else. We've had a few people here from Moody Aviation, from Laterno, Liberty, just different places all around. People came out of the military. And then there's those people that we start from ground zero with, this is a screwdriver, this is a hammer. And now we're going to work you through all the technical training and on-the-job training and apprenticeship necessary to become a licensed aircraft mechanic, which takes 3 years. It only legally takes 40 hours to become a private pilot. That sounds really little. It's a lot more work than it looks. Sounds, the average takes more like 60 to 80, but legally the FAA minimum is 40 hours to become a private pilot, 20 with an instructor, 20 by yourself. For an aircraft mechanic, it's 4,800 logged hours to get your aircraft mechanics license. It's a lot more work. A lot of things hinge on that. However, as you go through that process, you're learning a lot of things. And one of the things that we've learned more and more in that process, because when you're with Compass, we're a stepping stone. We're a bridge ministry. We aren't the end user. We are the preparing part that allows somebody to knock on the door at JARS and go, can I work for you? Or MAF or AIM Air, or there's over 150 mission aviation agencies out there. There's a lot of them. Some of them are very small, one and two man operations. Others are very large organizations like MAF that operate worldwide with over 50 or 60 airplanes. That is, growing up in Africa, MAF was based where we grew up, and that was a big deal for us. And that definitely affected how I grew up and how I thought. One of the things that we do here during that time is help them be prepared to meet those needs. However, we've learned that a majority of what happens here is not technical, it's non-technical. The longer we've been here, the more we realize that no matter how technically proficient you are, if the non-technical issues are in, the non-technical issues will uncover and they will create, it's easy to get on the field, it's very hard to stay on the field, longevity. You can push somebody through, but they don't have the maturity. They don't play well as a team member. They have maybe baggage from their past, whatever it is. Those things are really, really what slow you down. And so it's been fun to watch over the last while that as we invest in somebody, and people hear me say this quite a bit, airplanes, aviation is not about airplanes. It's about people. The airplanes are just what connect us. As we invest in people, as we work with the different skill sets that they're needing to learn, technical and non-technical, they become more whole and more able to serve more effectively. And the chances of them being able to plug into an organization and be solid and have good roots and not leave a crater because they can't get along with somebody. These little issues, these little red flags, they magnify tenfold when you're in isolated environments on the field. So there is no way just to push somebody through. You can't just check the boxes. So There are so many things happening here at Compass that are far beyond our reach. But I want to try to, like I said, try to focus on two things. It's generally not a good idea to spread out too thin. Hopefully we can do this. So one big change that has come in the last year, just this last year, is we partnered with an organization called Wings of the Way. The reason I'm going to try to break it up to these two things, there's two. What I'm about to share is quite heavy, very heavy. And then I'm going to finish, Lord willing, time permitting, with a children's story. A little more on the lighthearted side of things, but we kind of need to balance the heavy with that. But it also has some great reminder and application to us. So hopefully sometimes those kinds of things stick well with us. I'm a story person. So we partner with Wings of the Way. In fact, Liz Pearl, she's the director, is currently here at Compass, serving right now for probably the next few months still. She's working on some flight training that we're providing for her to enable her to be a part of some relocation flights. So Wings of the Way, it connects with via various networks with to rescue human trafficking victims. This is a huge deal. Had no idea how big it was. It grips me and just aches to the amount of how pervasive this is. But what she's doing with Wings of the Way is, again, it's not just her. She's connecting with a lot of other people, different safe houses and organizations, law enforcement, et cetera. But once a person is able to be rescued and wants to be rescued, that's a big deal. Once they want to be rescued, they need to get away from where they are and taken somewhere else where they can receive counseling. These guys don't have ID. They cannot just get on an airline and fly away. You can't even get a ticket to go on commercially. So they're because of security issues. So private unscheduled flights are the way to go. And there are thousands upon thousands of little airports dotting all over the country. So it's easy to connect with a satellite airport that's nearby any major hub and be under the radar, if you will, quite literally, actually, for some of it. Atlanta Approach has a very strict controlled airspace that we can go right underneath that shelf, be inside of some satellite airports and connect with anybody from there. But some of these victims are chipped. They are being followed. They will be caught. Horrible things will happen to them. So when things start happening quickly, they're met with an advocate. Law enforcement is there. They have the devices to be able to scan, identify the chips, deal with that, so they can no longer be tracked. However, there is still a possibility they can be found because they're in that area. So then they are relocated from there to another safe house. And the idea is not just to get them somewhere safe. It's just they're being flown where they can receive the truth. They can receive actual healing. They can be rescued again by the only one that can really rescue. In that kind of thing. So just the hope that they can receive from Jesus and the healing that they can receive from Jesus and actually find themselves being able to integrate back into society far away from where they can be caught, it's a big deal. So that is something that Compass has just begun doing. It's a whole new world for us. There are very strict rules of how we do it. There's always four people in the plane. We have a pilot, we have a co-pilot, we have an advocate, and then we have the rescue, the person that's being saved. That is the way it works. And it is amazing to watch it happen. It's amazing to watch and hear the stories of lives that were changed. And we've got a tool that is perfect. Now, we just so happen, and I'll show you in a minute, the airplane that we use. That is an airplane that God provided in an absolutely miraculous way. It's an airplane that we use for technical evaluation training, for the advanced training. It's the last step before a candidate is able to be evaluated by an organization like MAF or JIRES or whoever. We've always had to partner with somebody else to do this. God put that in our lap, literally dropped it in our laps after we went through a series of it's an amazing God story that will take the rest of the time, so I won't go there. Message me sometime and I'll gladly share it, maybe next year. So that airplane is exactly what we want to do. I'm going to go ahead and try to do the screen thing one more time. This time I can walk out there and show you a couple things. Back to this. And
unmute. I'm videoing and flipped around again. Time to go walking. Am I on the screen now?
Yes.
Okay. So there's where I was talking with my dad. Most people, when they walk in, the first thing they see is all these flags. I was telling you about that. Look at all these flags. We have about five more that need to go up, and they're there to remind us on a daily basis that we're doing a little more than just working on wrenches for a lawyer to go on a fishing trip, you know? Out there in the, this is outside our 60 degree day, there's that little white airplane on the edge there is actually our primary trainer. Kind of a foggy morning down here. This is an airplane that God provided that we do some transition training with, a little eagle on the tail. The gentleman that donated that to us, his name was John Eagle, hence the eagle on the tail. Walking out into our other part of the hangar. This is where we work on, put the camera up a little bit higher so we can see maybe, but we've got more projects than we know what to do with. We have five more projects in another hangar, but so we've got some various aircraft around here that belong to customers that we work on. And then we have this one here I told you about. This is the airplane we use to do rescue flights with. So it's God provided this in an amazing way. It's currently got a battery being charged, but this is it's a six-place airplane. So the amazing thing here is that we can all fit in it with all the, it's a little bit dark, I'm sure. But the other side, we have baggage doors that open up and you can climb into the back and it goes more room than it looks. But this airplane can carry so much weight, six people easily, along with about 1,000 pounds of additional cargo, and fly, has a radius of about close to 600 miles, depending on power settings. So we can go a long distance. Our typical flights are about 2.5 hours one way. So 2.5 hours to pick somebody up, 2.5 hours to a safe house, and then 2.5 hours back to here. We've begun a new fund that we cover those costs for the Four Wings of the Way. We do not want them to have that burden. And so I'm working my way back to the computer there.
All right, should be back. Hard to do a tour like that. I can't see what you're seeing, and there's a lot more I could do. Our goal with the relocation flights that we're doing are to not put that burden on the ministry. They have so much that they're already carrying with and resources-wise, and they're very small. They're a group of, well, it's the director and their board, and that's it. They don't have an airplane. We do. They were looking to try to find a central location to be able to do these kinds of flights. Shelby is halfway between New York and Florida, and the I-81, 85, 26 interstate corridor is a massive problem. We are right in the middle of it. So for us, we're in a perfect place to launch to when the call comes and it needs to happen quickly. We can respond quickly. Because of our training organization, we have at least 5 pilots at any given time available. It allows time building, which is another part of what we do here, to build a certain number of flight time in certain models of aircraft. And one of the requirements is a certain number of hours in a certain particular model of aircraft, which just so happens to be that airplane I just showed you.
So being able to gather additional hours while flying in that airplane and helping somebody else and spreading the kingdom, I mean, it's win-win-win every which way. But as you can imagine, the enemy does not like that. So we very much need your prayers. It's a massive fight. To God be the glory. There's no other way. I'm going to close with, I didn't go as deep into that as I was thinking I might, but it's still a very, dealing with human trafficking and rescuing them, we just don't realize how big of a deal that is. And we're still just now barely figuring that out. I want to close with it's a children's book. You have to be patient as we work through some technical, I did not save it in the correct format. So now I'm just going to be scrolling through the pictures. But hopefully you'll be able to hear me doing this. I'll still be on my dad's computer here. And then I'll conclude my thoughts after that. So you'll gather what it is as I'm reading it. We'll go from there. So keeping the screen on. And then what do we say to do on this, Dad? Oh, there we are. Oh, we got a screen share first. Back to screen. Oh boy. So screen sharing. There we are. That one. So are you able to see this fabulous book?
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully the screen isn't too cluttered up here, but this is a story about Adam the raccoon. So we're all grown-ups here, so we can smile and enjoy this kid's book. It's okay. You have to be patient with me because, first of all, I'm still a kid at heart. And it's about a flying machine. So what am I going to do? And you have to put it together. So I'm a mechanic. I mean, this is even better. So indulge me reading this. And there's a reason and a method to this. So here we go. So, the flying machine. High above the oak trees, Sam the little sparrow twirled and looped through the air, landing on a glider that Adam Raccoon had just finished building. "Ready to try it out?" Sam asked cheerfully. "Yep, I'll be able to fly like you, Sam." Huffing and panting, Adam pushed and pulled the glider up to the top of a very high cliff. That's how good stories start. "All set," Adam said, as Sam gave him a final nudge. "Whoosh! You did it, Sam! You're flying!" Sam shouted as the glider soared. As quickly as the glider flew, it dropped, leaving Adam floating in midair. He fell into the arms of King Aaron, who was passing by at that very moment. "You'll never fly that way, Adam, but I may have just the thing you need." King Aaron led Adam and Sam up a high mountain to his storehouse of wonderful treasures. As King Aaron opened the massive door, a bright light shone from within. Adam and Sam stood amazed at the many strange and wonderful things they saw. Soon, King Aaron returned, pushing a large crate. "What's that?" Adam shouted excitedly. "You'll see as soon as you put it together." "All right, no problem," Adam said as he scrambled onto the crate. "Hold on, Adam. You'll need this instruction book to show you how to do it. You'll also need someone to help explain it to you. Meet Ernest. Be sure to listen to him." After King Aaron left, they went to the business of opening the crate. They tugged and pulled with all of their might, and suddenly, boing, the crate burst open, sending the three flying. Now, this is what my shop looks like almost every day. "Wow, look at all this stuff. Where do we begin?" Adam said. Ernest handed Adam the instruction book. "I think we better start here." Adam started to read. "Find section A and screw in bolt 32 to air turbine D." "Ah, this is going to take way too long," Adam sighed. "No course it will, said the professor, who strolled out from behind the bushes. What do you expect when you do something the old-fashioned way? So I'm not reading this with the goat voice, but I can do that. He's a goat. We have a new way now, he said, tossing the book into the bushes. There's one simple rule. Do whatever feels right to you. Much to Ernest's dismay, Adam started sticking whatever part onto whichever piece felt right to him. Soon, King Aaron stopped by to see how things were going. Where's the book, Adam? Oh, that book was old-fashioned, the professor. Old-fashioned. The professor showed me the new way. I can't watch, King Aaron said as Adam continued to build. King Aaron, I'm done, Adam shouted. Isn't it great? Well, Adam, what is it? King Aaron asked as he investigated the odd-looking contraption. It's a flying machine, of course, Adam replied. See, you just hop in this seat, pull back this lever, and the machine started to shake. Adam, I think you better get down. That crazy machine looks dangerous. Oh, but the professor said it's safe, right, Professor? That's right, safer than standing on the ground, he answered, hiding behind a tree. Want to ride with me, Adam asked. I'd love to, but I just remembered I've got some important reading to do. Good luck. I'll go, Sam volunteered, and he hopped back in as Adam started the countdown. 10, 9, 8. Blast off. With a roar, the machine took off, wildly out of control, cutting a path through Master's Wood. Help! Adam screamed as the animals dove for cover. The machine climbed high into the sky like a rocket far above the clouds. Adam frantically tried to gain control, pulling levers and hitting buttons. Suddenly, the ship turned and plummeted toward Earth. Splash! As the water settled, everyone watched for Adam and Sam to surface. Look out below! Everyone looked up to see little Sam carrying Adam safely back down. Good to have good friends. Dropping into King Aaron's arms, the groggy raccoon awoke. Mayday, mayday, we're going down. Adam, you're back on the ground, the king said gently. Hopping out of the king's arms, Adam ran to Ernest's side. Oh, please give me another chance, King Aaron. I'll follow the book and listen to Ernest this time. I promise. King Aaron agreed. The next day, the flying machine was pulled out of the lake. They started to build again. Adam was surprised at how much he enjoyed the hard work. Weeks later, King Aaron was taking his daily walk. He was startled by a voice. Hello down there, this is X-25 Jethawk calling King Aaron. High above the trees, Adam was hovering in his new flying machine. Adam, you did it, King Aaron shouted. Not by myself, he replied, holding up the book with Sam and Ernest sitting beside him. Now, let's see what it can do. Then Adam, Sam, and Ernest gave the greatest air show that anyone in Master's Wood had ever seen. I'm going to bring you back to this page right here. Not by myself, he replied, holding up the book with Sam and Ernest sitting beside him. So this is where, and we'll switch back to the other screen. I'll switch back in just a second here, but keep that in your mind. You've got the raccoon, you've got his friend, and you've got Ernest with him there. I love that picture, that last part of it, where there's lots of things throughout it. I mean, like all good children's books, there's a lot of deep truths in there and good reminders, and all parables and illustrations break down in different ways. But for the purposes of what we're doing here in Mission Aviation, in any ministry, in walking together and doing life as believers together, when we can only do what God's called us to do when we're following his word, walking in the light, right? We're having trouble in sin or trouble in getting along with somebody, we're probably needing to walk in the light. That's an answer to a lot of it. With the Holy Spirit alongside, you got Ernest there helping him with him all the way. We have a free will, we can do things, but Holy Spirit is still there with us and draws us back. And with Sam, that picture with Sam in there, that's community, that's us, that's you, that's those around us that are helping us do what we do. We can't do it on our own. We need people around us. So you guys are part of helping Compass. You guys are very much involved in your way. Our mission and your mission and my dad's mission and whoever it is that if we're walking with Christ, we're not all evangelists, but we're all called to evangelize. So how does that look and how does that play out on a daily basis? Better be in the word, better be reading and praying, better be walking in the light. Those things will, the Holy Spirit will equip to do what needs to be done. And we need to all be about the same thing, which is knowing Jesus and making him known. However that looks, bringing that light into dark places. Right now, we've been given a tool that allows us to bring light into a really dark place. And it allows ministry to happen that we didn't even know could be done using an airplane and being available and being obedient. And that's true of all of us, be available, be obedient. So thank you very, very much. I'm just going to close with a word of prayer. Lord, what a blessing it is to be a part of your kingdom. I thank you that you have rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and have brought us into your marvelous light. Lord, along the way, our feet get dirty. And I thank you that, just as it says in 1 John 1:9, that, Lord, we can confess those sins to you, that when we do, that you hear us, that you not only hear us, but you wash us clean, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, your Holy Spirit is such a good friend. And I thank you for interceding for us with words that we cannot express, with grounds that we cannot express. I just am so thankful for your work that is going on. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to share, for the work that Malvern is doing, the people that they're connecting with, as they are available, as the people within it are available and obedient, that you will do great and mighty things through the work of your Holy Spirit in our obedient following of that. So help us to be in your word. Help us to be walking in the light. Thank you for your goodness to us. Again, as I said early on, words that are mine, may they be quickly forgotten. Words of you, that they would take root. We are grateful and we thank you in Jesus' name. I don't know if anybody has any questions. I'm happy to try to answer if there's time, but we're at, looks like almost 10 till 1. So, ta-da. Thank you.